Hi, and welcome to the Fiercely Holistic Podcast with your hosts, functional nutritional therapy practitioners, Kristen Mahaley and Sierra Shea.
With this platform, we're going to be your bold advocates, making healthy living achievable by providing small, tangible changes that will encourage your body to regain balance.
I'm Kristen, board-certified holistic nutritionist and FNTP, owner of Nourish Holistic Health and Nutrition. I live on an ever-expanding farm in New Hampshire with my hunter husband Dean and baby boy Henry.
I'm Ciara, Juris Doctor and FNTP, owner of Aura Nutrition and Wellness. I live on Long Island, New York with my incredible husband Tim and beautiful daughter Libby. We're thrilled to be joining you on this journey towards living a fiercely holistic life. Let's dive in.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Fiercely Holistic Podcast. Kristen and I are thrilled to be bringing you Brianna Morse today. We are talking all about medicinal magic mushrooms, microdosing, psilocybin, all of the stuff that you are hearing about and probably want to learn more about. So let me give you a little bit of background on Brianna, and then we're going to jump right into the episode. Brianna has been licensed in the state of California as a marriage and family therapist for 15 years. She ran a successful private practice for 6 years where she was an expert on attachment and relational-based therapy, working with families who adopted children from overseas who had both experienced trauma and were struggling to connect to their new family. Through a childhood of being bullied, using her athleticism to fuel her self-esteem, a divorce, move, 3 massive losses in 1 year, a huge breakup, homelessness, and an empty bank account, Brianna couldn't fathom how an intelligent and successful woman could get to such a low place. Through her own coaching, therapy, continuing education, and lots of time spent hiking in the woods, Brianna learned how much of her lack of self-worth was a driving force for the self-sabotage that took her further away from the things she desperately wanted. Brianna uses her life experiences to authentically show up for clients while using her education and background in cognitive behavioral therapy and neurolinguistic programming to guide her clients to break the mindset barriers and blocks, keeping them stuck in their unfulfilled and unhappy current way of living. So without further ado, here's the episode.
Brianna, welcome.
Thank you.
We can't wait to share this topic.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm very passionate about it. I'm very excited to be a teacher and a healer in the space and really, you know, spreading the word of safely using something like this to really heal, expand, transform. So it's an honor. Thank you.
Yeah, this is going to be a really good episode. And before we get started, just the lawyer in me has to put out a disclaimer, right? That's just what I do. So this podcast is for informational purposes only. We are not offering medical advice and we don't encourage illegal activities. So Brianna's going to walk us through all the legalities of that, hopefully. So please consult with your own doctor or mental health professional before starting any new modality. And also, if you have a doctor that's not open to things like this, find a new doctor, because we want to make sure that you are supported, right, in all the ways.
Yes.
So head back to our episode on talking about holistic modalities with your doctor. So, yeah, let's dive in. We're like, way too excited to waste any time.
Imagine someone emails us, C, and they're like, I tried this and I got arrested. Like, yeah. That's the last thing we need.
Ever. Like, right. No, yeah. But we do want you to get better. And this could be a thing that is the missing link for you, right? Mm-hmm. Like, this isn't new stuff. This isn't a fad. This is old, old, old medicine. So,
yeah,
like, Brianna, you've, like, spanned the gamut of areas. So from licensed marriage and family therapist to mindset coach, now to a microdosing expert. Can you just tell us a little bit more about this incredible journey that you've been on?
Yeah, so, you know, I think it's fair to say that we typically fall in alignment with our purpose and our passion as we go through like the ups and downs of life. Like wherever life takes us, it's kind of what we end up bringing with us into this next phase, and whether that's a new skill or a new passion or whatever. But I actually went to college with a minor in psychology because I wanted to be a therapist. 9/11 hits. And I flunk psych 101 and I'm like, clearly I'm not supposed to be a therapist. So I ended up changing my neighborhood, my minor to liberal studies to be a teacher. Cause I thought, well, I know I'm supposed to help. It's in my bones. It's in my blood. I've always done it. And so I finished my bachelor's degree in liberal studies, got a BA, and then went into the credential program. And within the first semester, I was like, I am not supposed to teach, because as soon as we were told that there was these specific standards that every child had to learn from, I was like, red flag, red flag, red flag. Like, nobody learns the same. Nobody absorbs information the same. Nobody processes the same. So like, how are we teaching like this? It makes no sense. So I went back to school and got my master's in psychology and, you know, came full circle into private practice, where I worked specifically with families who had adopted children from overseas. And so I did a lot of attachment work, trauma work, tons of ADHD, anxiety, depression, reactive attachment disorder, that kind of thing. And I got divorced in 2017 and wanted to start my life over again. So I packed up my stuff and moved all the way across the US to live a life where I could live and work versus have to work to survive and fit the living in within that. And so that's really where my trajectory that brought me here started, because I moved somewhere where I didn't know anybody. I had to restart my career because South Carolina wouldn't give me reciprocity for my license. Thank you, God, because it forced me to go into this coaching space and figure out my life over again. I went through several losses, several really bad relationship choices. I went through a couple of other moves in the same area. So there's just a lot of transition and change and trying to discover who I am and realizing I had no idea who I was. You know, I built my life around getting married and having a family and having this private practice, and I lost all of it. And so there was this you know, divine force of me having to go deep in order to figure all of these things out about myself. And in 2018, I had just ended a really unhealthy relationship. I was living with him. I had to move out. I was not doing great in my business. So I had like no money, and I had to figure out where to live. And I had all of these things, these pieces that I had to pick up, and was driving to yoga and was on the phone with a friend from California and had a panic attack while I was driving. And as a therapist who knows like what the symptoms are and how it, like, I couldn't stop it from happening. I was, you know, hyperventilating. I couldn't breathe. It literally felt like I was going to die. And so I pulled over, and that was the catalyst that like really led me into the psychedelic field and true healing. I'd already been in therapy before, you know, I was doing yoga, I was doing meditation, I was doing, you know, air quotes, all of the things to help myself, but I wasn't actually getting to the root causes and understanding where they came from and why they existed and how they had survived as long as they had. And so I started going to EMDR therapy and hypnosis, which are two very powerful and amazing tools for anybody who has carried trauma in their life at all. And then I told her that after like four or five sessions, I felt less anxious, but I had explained to her, there's something in me that I can't seem to access. I know all the things that I've learned and that you've taught me, and I can see that I want to do differently, but I'm disconnected between my body and what I know. So it was like my subconscious was still running me, even though inside I knew I wanted to do different. So I talked to a friend about it, and she said, have you tried microdosing before? And I was like, I don't even know what that is. I like witnessed friends in college do psychedelics and was like, if that's what happens on a psychedelic, I am never taking that shit. Like, no, thank you, pass. Like, it was scary enough to observe. So did a bunch of research, read several books, and got access to some mushrooms and created myself into a science experiment. You know, And it took a while to figure out what worked. I did a little too much. The first time I know that I didn't do enough, but I'm like a dip a toe in the water and test it out first kind of person. And then there was a few times where I did a little bit too much and felt a certain way. And when I finally got to this protocol and a dosage amount, and I was still meeting with my therapist, I told her what I was doing. And so I had that support. Things changed. And I was accessing things that I couldn't before. And I was making connections to things that I couldn't before. And as somebody who defines herself as being emotionally intelligent, self-aware, expansive, I was still missing things. So for me, like, I say that not to like boost my own ego, but to say like, none of us are as emotionally intelligent as we think we are. And none of us are accessing all of the things that need to be healed that we thought we have. And none of us are ever as aware as we actually can be. And so, you know, fast forward, you know, here we are in 2022. And I mean, even feedback from my friends, like I'm the most grounded, observant, connected, in tune with my body, acting in alignment with my truest self than I've ever been before. And that's what I want everybody to feel like they can be in their life.
Mm. Oh my God.
So many good things.
Yeah. Like, we could actually stop the episode. Like,
yes, that's and have a great day.
Yeah. Wow. Well, thank you for sharing all of that and being vulnerable, because I think it's really hard sometimes. Mm-hmm. People don't find value in having struggles. You struggled. And yes. What you ended up doing is finding these seeds of adversity and just blooming in each of them, right? So, wow, thank you for sharing all that. I really like, this is an area that I think people just, it's so misunderstood. So I think it's going to be really good for us to dive into these areas where people could like sort of get their teeth around it and be like, oh, okay, it's not a scary thing. You just need to be supported through it and you need to know what you're doing. Wow.
Yeah, it's one of those things, like I said, I didn't have at this time, like I had been, you know, listening to Aubrey Marcus podcasts and Joe wrote, like they talk about it. But other than that, like I wasn't in the door of like the psychedelic community. So I didn't know. And I trusted my friend. She's used a lot of psychedelics. So I knew that she would at least kind of lead me in the right direction. The books were helpful. My therapist was supportive, but she's an old bag. She's like 70 years old. So like she might have like tried them when she's older, but she, you know, was supportive in it. And that was about the extent of it. So for me, like what I love and I feel like my job on earth is now is to actually help people create something that feels safe and feels accessible and feels, I don't know how else to say it, but like the common folk can access. Because when I was getting into it, it's like I was following these people that are like way up here in their level of success and financial success and ability to travel and access these things. And so in my head, it was like, I'm a common folk. Like I can't access this or do any of this because I'm watching people that are way ahead of me doing it. And that's just not true.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Let's break all this down.
Brianna, I think one thing too, just to piggyback off Sierra, is like woman to woman, thank you for honoring that intuition of like, nope, this isn't for me. Like not just, okay, I'll just keep going down teaching or psych in that first go, like listening, because if you didn't, it wouldn't have brought you here.
Yeah.
And it's so important to acknowledge that you can do all of the work in going to therapy and EMDR and hypnotherapy and cognitive behavioral therapy. And if you don't heal what's going on in the body, I don't think you'll ever get to that like 100%. I feel so strong in my mental, physical, emotional, spiritual health.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. So one thing, throughout this episode, we're going to be referring to magic mushrooms, microdosing, and psilocybin. Can we begin by breaking down what we're talking about with each of these?
Yeah. So whether you hear the word magic mushroom or psilocybin or psychedelic or plant medicine, you know, under that umbrella, it's all the same things. So this classification, psilocybin mushroom, just means that there are there's a psychedelic component, meaning that like once ingested, the body turns that into what's called psilocin, and that's what produces the somatic experiences, the hallucinations, the visualizations, the changes in your experience with, you know, others and the world around you. So, you know, some are poisonous, some are edible, they medicinal mushrooms, reishi, chaga, lion's mane. Those don't have the psilocybin factor, which turns into psilocin. So those are just considered medicinal because they still do heal, help do things to your body. And then obviously there's the poisonous kind that you don't want to take because then the body interacts with those in a negative way.
And then the microdosing is just the amount you're taking, right? So there's like a super small dose. You could break that down. And then there's like, isn't it called like a hero dose or heroic dose?
Yeah. So a microdose is, so for anybody listening, if you say, oh yeah, I took a small handful of mushrooms and microdosed, that's not a microdose. If you say, yeah, I just took one cap and microdosed, that's not a microdose. A microdose is a specific measured amount that is actually weighed out that you take on a consistent basis. So it's not random. It's not three times a day. It's a very specific amount. And a microdose is considered between 100 and 500 milligrams. So anything over that is considered a macrodose. Once you hit 5 grams, it's considered a hero's dose. So the other thing that I think people should know just outside of microdosing is I feel like a lot of people believe taking a hero's dose is not only this grandiose success in taking psychedelics, but like that's what you need in order to access more information. That's just not true. In the ceremonies that I lead, that I've been led in, 3 grams is a great amount to get you deep enough to access information. And then you don't have to feel like your face is melting off or like wondering like why we exist on this earth or what's the reason for living. Like to me, and again, this is my personal preference. I don't see when I started using this, I used it for healing and growth. So for me, again, I'm a very polarized person. And I believe that the reason the indigenous cultures created this was for healing and growth for them. So I want to transfer that from everything that they've done to allow us white American people or whatever to use it in the same level of respect and integrity. And so 5 grams is great. Like I'd be, oh yeah, I've taken 10 grams. That's awesome for you. But for me, like I want to be able to access enough so that I can take it out and use it in my life, not like pick myself off the floor, like a melted, you know, piece of chocolate and try to like figure out like where my body parts are again.
Yeah. Know? Right. 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 Okay. That's really helpful. So thank you. I feel like that sort of like gives us an idea of where we're going. It's like the keys to the map, right? Like these are all the things that we're going to be talking about. So I really want to understand, like you heard the disclaimer in the beginning of the episode, and psilocybin is a federally classified as Schedule 1 controlled substance, but some states have decriminalized it.
Yeah.
So even in those states that have decriminalized it, it's still not legal.
Yeah.
So like you just won't get in trouble. Like can you, first of all, if you know the history of this, like if you could share that with us, but also help us understand so people that are listening are like, okay, well, I don't want to do something illegal, but this sounds great, then what?
Well, America is just kind of on the slow train. I'll use that word.
Yeah.
It's what's funny is like it's legal to carry the spores. So you can have spores, but as soon as they grow into mushrooms, then it's illegal. So to me, like that in and of itself is benign because like, what's the point of it all then? Like why?
Well, that's like, you can carry an egg, but if it turns into a chicken, like off with your head.
So I think what's starting to happen specifically in the last year or so is it's starting to become decriminalized for the purpose of therapeutic treatment. And I think that's why the decriminalization laws are starting to show up, is so that these larger universities and hospitals can practice more legally doing the therapeutic assessments and research on it. So my guess is that in 3 years, it might be completely federally legal. But okay, until then, it's only going to continue to remain decriminalized so that more and more research can happen.
So would it be the equivalent of like medical marijuana? Like if you have a script for it, you just have to be under the care. Okay. But in this situation, it wouldn't be a doctor. It would be like a licensed therapist.
Yeah. 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 Okay. Licensed therapist, probably psychologist, psychiatrist would be my guess.
So we're not saying like go forage through the woods and find a mushroom and be like, maybe I'll try.
Well,
like,
I know people who do.
Or are you?
I know people who do that. There are apps on your phone that you can take a picture and it'll say like, you know, red flag, don't take, like poisonous, you know, extremely poisonous, or like edible, or edible only in this amount, or. And there are, it'll say like, this has psychedelic components. So there are apps that you can go out and forage and kind of like go at your own risk and test them out. And it's not like there's not other information in that app saying that other people haven't found it. And it's true that it does have psychedelic factors and it is in fact safe and you can take it or whatever. So I do know people who do that. But then, you know, the opposite of that is, you know, people grow in plastic tubs in their closet.
Right.
And then people grow on their property and, you know, they'll spore into oak blocks, or they'll create a manure pile and grow that way. So, I mean, there's lots of.
So sourcing wise, there's options.
Yeah. So sourcing wise, if somebody wants to do this, they have really three options. They can grow it themselves. And I don't know how to do that. That's not my jam. I'm not even interested in it. You can have a source, or there are companies that I know that I'll refer clients to that publicly sell, like they have a website and everything. And most of the time through those companies, you have to pay with like cryptocurrency or something. So everybody's information is very private and there's no like actual money exchange. I think that protects people a little bit more, but there is access.
So like we're not going on like an herb, like iloveherbs.com or iloveMushrooms.com.
No.
Okay. So if they do use one of these websites that, and they use cryptocurrency, is that to also help with the legality standpoint?
Yeah. I think it just kind of keeps everybody's information private.
Neutral.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
wonderful.
You know, the one thing that I will encourage people to really be cognizant of as they're, you know, going out and searching for this is like, if they have a trusted source, great. That's amazing. If they're choosing to purchase online through one of these companies, they need to be careful what they're ordering, because some create blends. So it's not just psilocybin, it's mixed with lion's mane or reishi, chaga, like all of the things. And I personally have had clients who take a blend and it does not work well for them. And automatically they think, oh, well, I shouldn't be microdosing. Psilocybin doesn't work for me. But that's not the case, because then they'll come to me and we'll get them access to like pure psilocybin and they don't have any of the issues anymore. So I think people need to like, this is where having like a guide or a coach or a therapist or a mentor, somebody who's experienced with this, is really helpful, because they can walk you through the steps of making sure like what works for you, what doesn't, like how much should you take, how much should you not take, how often should you take it, when do you need to take breaks? Because just like when I saw the red flags in the credential program that nobody learns the same, the the FODMAP protocol doesn't work for everybody. Like, that's just a generic thing. And just like, you know, take 1 to 2 capsules a day, that's a very generic thing. And we're not generic. Each of us responds, metabolizes, and needs a different amount in a varying amount of time.
Awesome. Okay, thank you. I'm really appreciative of you sharing that, Brianna. So can you explain to us what I kind of want to say controlled microdosing experience is like when you're working with a guide, a coach, a practitioner, what you would experience?
Yeah, so when people choose to work with me, we typically work for about 8 weeks. Some people work longer just because they want to keep going deeper and accessing more. But in general, you have a time where you're creating an intentional protocol, meaning that you're creating a protocol specific to the goals and intentions that that person wants to experience, on top of creating an intentional practice around the protocol. Which means you're not just waking up, popping a pill in your mouth and going on with your day. There's a huge component of working with this medicine, which whether it's dried or not, it's still a living being and it has life to it. And so you can only get life and receive life from something that you're also creating life with. And so there's this co-creation process that you develop with your microdosing protocol so that you can experience all the benefits. On top of that, there's the integration period. So not only are you microdosing, but when you meet with someone weekly, like I do with my clients, you're checking in to see what's working and not working. What are you feeling? What are you not feeling? And then from there, you take the experience deeper. So it's giving you access to more information, just like you said, Chris, within the body. So that now, okay, let's talk more about this trigger that constantly shows up for you, or let's talk more about this pattern that you see that you can't seem to get yourself out of. Let's talk about what your SSRI is really masking that you're wanting to completely heal and evolve from. And so that integration time is both a time to really deep dive into, you know, these goals that want to be met, but also like, how do you practice putting into play, putting into life what you're starting to learn? So integration is, you know, journaling to create awareness and new patterns. It's being out in nature. It's having conversations with people in different ways than you had before. It's meditating, it's movement, it's breath work, it's changing the way that you eat. It's changing the lifestyle habits that you've had. So it's easier to do when you have the support, because as you know, and I mean, I'm the same way when I've been in when I come home from ceremonies, it's very easy to like get back into your old routines and habits. So it takes more work to be in the integration phase to really change those things that ultimately you want to change.
This is, so I'm hearing so many things. And I think one of the things that I want to like sit with is this is not a quick fix.
No.
This is for the person who is ready to address like their shadow side.
Yes.
Address the pieces of them that don't feel authentic and good, the traumas, whether they're a big T or a little T. This is for the person that is just ready, or the person that is like really well balanced but wants to take it to the next level and like reach a higher plane. So I just want to say that because I feel like so many people, sorry, Cole sees a squirrel. I don't even know what to say. Like, he's just, anyway, Cole definitely needs to microdose. He has some big traumas from being a rescue. There's no question. I don't even know what I was saying. I got sidetracked, but I think there are what I was saying is this is
not a quick fix.
It's not. And people are like, oh, here's the newest fad. Let me take a pill. And kind of like what you were saying, it's like, you can't just get it. You can't just get it from anyone and like experience it and not know what you're doing and not have someone support you and not have a guide. It's very similar to what Kristen and I do in nutritional therapy. Mm-hmm. You can't just like say, oh yeah, I'm going to do a sugar cleanse and then all of my things will be better. It's not about
that. And take like Or when we've seen it, see, like, this year it could be everyone should be on ashwagandha. Right. Then everyone needs a probiotic. Yes. Then everyone should take fish oil. It's like, no.
Right.
What do you need? And like you said, Brianna, like, we all metabolize differently. Mm-hmm. I think because people think like, oh, we all have almost all of the same parts. Like, well, we all have a liver, so we should all be on like bile salts. No, you know, like, does your liver need that? So yeah.
It's no. And well, and you know, something that like, I just have to like really keep blessing and releasing is, you know, people will come to me, let's say they want to get off an SSRI, or they do want to see, you know, they want to another one. Like, I want to really just build better connections. Like, I just feel like I have this distance and shut off from my relationships. Amazing. So then they decide that, and I'm going to call out, like, the ego comes in and says, I'm going to do it on my own. And so somebody does this on their own, and maybe they're successful at getting off their SSRI. Great. Maybe they quote unquote feel better, but that's not what the true purpose of this medicine is. Like, in the indigenous cultures, they take it and they sit and they reflect and they're in circle, they're in community, they work together. And I think that's the piece that, like, as a, you know, I'll just say, like, as a human race in this culture now, that we take all of the other stuff out because we're just looking to we're looking for the solution to a problem. And this isn't the solution. This is the thing that's going to take you to the problem so that you can figure out how to fix it.
So let's talk about the benefits. Like, What are some of the benefits that people are going to experience when they're doing microdosing?
So many. So, you know, focus, mental clarity, easier ability to problem solve. There's just more like motivation and production when it comes to, you know, if we're focusing on like work style stuff. A more like an improved mood. There's just a bigger sense of happiness and like a deeper sense of innate joy. Like, you can feel being joyful versus like having to experience things to feel joy. There's this deeper connectedness to just like yourself and your experience of other things, whether that's like animals, people, children. A lot of them, like the mothers specifically that I work with, will say, I knew that I loved my kids, but now like I have this deep love that I've never experienced before. Like, I see them differently. There's also the other side. There's this spiritual connection that a lot of people have where they just feel more connected to God or divine or, you know, universe or whatever that is for them. And then there's the piece that it, you know, reduces anxious symptoms and improves depressive moods and depressive symptoms. And it really creates this balance between, you know, the body and the mind. And that's the thing, is we are a culture that is ran by our subconscious, by our mind. That's how we function. And so this brings everybody back into their body to really refresh their nervous system and refresh their sense of self and refresh their connection to their intuition, which to me, intuition is that higher spiritual guidance too. And so, you know, when somebody's in that place, like, no matter the challenge, no matter the loss, the deficit, the things that show up, like, you're able to process and persevere through them with more grace and patience and trust than before.
I love that. And so I want to ask you, I know you mentioned, like, with you and your programs, you do an 8-week program, but for someone who is wanting to, you know, maybe work with their therapist or whatnot, what does that look like? Are you taking psilocybin ongoing forever? Is it something that you're like, okay, I could do one, you know, treatment program and then I'm done? Like, what does that look like?
Yeah. So, what's recommended and what I recommend is no more than 8 weeks total of a protocol at one time, and then taking 2 to 4 weeks off before you start another protocol. But I think beyond that, it's really important that a person who decides to microdose, part of that intentional practice is creating a relationship with the medicine. And so as you're starting to finish, I really invite people to look at, like, is the medicine calling you to come back to use it for something? Or do you need more time to integrate and be connected to yourself? Because again, our mind wants to go to, oh, this thing is making me feel better, so I need to keep doing it. And now we've put all of the responsibility on the psilocybin, on the microdosing, to be the thing that keeps somebody stable or happy or off of something. And that's just, it's not, that's not its job, you know? So that's the piece, is like having that relationship and being able to say, like, okay, I feel like it's time. I mean, I've gone as much as like 8 months without microdosing and gone through some super shitty experiences and didn't feel like, oh, I need this to make sure I get out of it. It was like, I didn't need it. I didn't even think about it. And then afterwards I was like, whoa, I just went through, you know, a breakup, moving, and having to, you know, say goodbye to two foster dogs and changing a piece of my business within 4 months' time. And I might have cried, but I didn't do what I usually do, which is like crawl under a rock, completely disconnect from business, dissociate, you know, binge eat a bunch, like do all the things. Like I was good. Holy crap. Yeah. Like I was, and I trusted that it was all going to work out, and I didn't need the medicine to do that. Like I, that had my previous microdosing protocol had already curated for me some new neural pathways and some new ways to respond. And so I could handle it on my own. So I think that's very important for people to know, is like, you don't have to keep taking this all the time to be better, if that's, or healed, or.
Yeah. That's awesome. Like, I just want to say, I'm so happy you found this for you and for us. Like,
same.
So we could all benefit from your experiences. But like, really, it's profound. It's really profound.
You know what? It's super powerful. And I, you know, one story that I just want to share, because I want people to understand like the power of putting in the work when using this, not using this as the tool, but putting in the work. And when I say work, I mean therapy or coaching. I mean processing. I mean like going to the places that you've avoided and going to the places that you might have gone, but you may not have gone to them in the way they needed to be accessed now that you're microdosing. Because that's how I was, right? Like I had gone to all the places, but I hadn't accessed them in the way that I could now that my mind and my subconscious wasn't in the way. My body was more available to like go deeper into it. But I have a client now that I've been working with for almost a year. She chose to sign on to keep working with me. She had been on Zoloft for 15 years and was still having daily panic attacks. And so she needed Xanax in the evening times to wind down sometimes. And she used a THC pen to alleviate any sort of anxious symptoms in between. So Zoloft, which is supposed to help you not be anxious, but she was still anxious and then had to take these other two things. And so by week six, we had her all the way off of Zoloft, not using her pen and no more Xanax. And she had a couple of mild panic attacks in between, but was able to get out of them much more quickly and without the use of these other tools. Fast forward to us finishing, she took 2 weeks off, so no microdosing, no SSRI, no pen, and she had one panic attack in that 2 weeks that she was able to deal with on her own. Now, fast forward to our time together now, and she just went 32 days without microdosing, without her pen, without the need for SSRI or Xanax. No panic attacks at all. Zero.
Oh my God.
So that's amazing.
This is the proof that you don't even need to microdose all of the time to keep a symptom from going away. Like the more that you work through the subconscious programming and the embodiment and retraining your nervous system, you can go where you don't need it because your body knows how to handle it on its own. So
that is so amazing. And congratulations to the two of you.
Yeah.
Because I think what our culture shows, Brianna, and this is coming from someone who's been on two different SSRIs in her life. It's when It's this feeling of I don't want to feel, I want to numb.
Numb.
And what I'm hearing in what you're explaining to us is the only way to heal is to get through.
Yep.
So it's allowing you to feel, and that can be very scary for people.
So scary.
So I think that's why it's so important that you do work with a guide while you're going through this so that those things don't come up. And then you're like, now I'm feeling this trauma or horrible situation that happened in my life and I don't know how to cope with it. Mm-hmm. So can you just explain a little bit more on like when you're working with a practitioner on microdosing, you know, why that's so important and why, like, what are some of the things you would help them through?
Yeah.
Like, is it just here's your protocol, good luck, or like let's meet and talk out what you've experienced each week?
Yeah. So one of the biggest things that happens when people start microdosing is they expect to feel something. And so they assume because they're not feeling something, that means it's not working or something's wrong. So that's a really big piece about having a guide or a therapist or a coach to work with you on, because sometimes you don't feel anything and that doesn't mean it's not working. And so even in that is such a great like opportunity to look further. Like, how often do you always look for some sort of validation that something's working? Like, where are you seeking that in other areas of your life? You know, another piece is the experience of feelings, new emotions, and that can be uncomfortable and scary. And a lot of us are really great at avoiding, busying ourselves, or denying the experience of some of these emotions. And so as these start to arise, it's a great opportunity to have someone there to help you not only allow your body to decipher how this feeling gets to be expressed and what it means inside the body, but then to come up into your mind and change these stories that you probably have about that feeling in general. The other piece that is also really, really valuable is that embodiment work, which I do a lot in my work, which is having them get comfortable with allowing their body and their intuition to be the one that starts to drive their decisions. And then there's just that rewiring of the nervous system and training the nervous system not to be in fight or flight or in that dissociative, you know, dorsal vagal, that like freeze stage. So it's really working on practicing bringing yourself back down. To me, these aren't things that you do on your own, because we all have what's called like a subconscious threshold. Like our mind doesn't allow us to access more on our own because it receives that as dangerous or risky. And so we can't take ourselves any further. Like it's literally impossible. Like there are studies that show your brain can only access a certain amount of information that you can take yourself to before somebody else has to ask you a question to take you there.
This is really important for people mm-hmm. to hear. Mm-hmm. And I also want to say, I feel like some people could get the idea that microdosing has to be this like spiritually led, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's not a woo-woo thing. You could be going through some really intense medical issues and mm-hmm. feel like your nervous system, like, here, I'm just going to take the example of mold, right? I mm-hmm. had a horrific experience where the car that I was driving for 2 years, unbeknownst to me, had mold in the air conditioning unit. It was a brand new car, okay? I'm highly allergic to mold. My brain started fearing driving without me understanding why. And I started having panic attacks in the car, like what you were describing. I'm like, oh my God, I understand that feeling of like, there's no logic. I don't understand this. Why is my body freaking out? And it was my brain telling me unconsciously, you are not safe in the car.
Yep.
You cannot drive. Okay. So this is not a spiritually led thing. This is like my brain is just doing what it needs to
do. I can back up. It really happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right.
Like, she'd call me like, I'm having a panic attack. I'm on the side of the highway.
Like I would be frozen.
Yeah.
Right. So I'm thinking about people that have had issues, let's just say with mold. You're then terrified to go anywhere. I mean, I would go on vacation and be like, I'm going to have a panic attack. I'm going to be stuck. I'm going to be hives all over my body, like all these things. I think, Brianna, what could be so useful for people is understanding this plant medicine could help them get to the next level of where they need to go as a part of their healing journey.
Yeah. Yeah. So I run groups, like small group containers. And the last group that I ran was with five women who all had chronic illness and mold exposure. Several. Okay. This is the cool thing about this medicine. Listen, so I will always publicly announce when I'm opening another group. I do not say the specifics of the group, the type of group that I'm trying to create, the specific type of people, whatever. So I publicly, you know, launch this next round of this group. First woman signs up. Lyme disease, mold exposure. Second woman that signs up, mold exposure. Third woman that signs up, Lyme disease. Fourth woman that signs up, chronic illness for years and years and years. So like the medicine itself, it I'm told telling you, what you it will always take you to what's next. And so these women in this group were all living life exactly how you described, in fear of getting sick again, worried about what was going to be the next trigger of a symptom, feeling resentful for being unable to experience life the way that they know they've wanted to and deserve. And by the end of this thing, like one of the gals stayed in a hotel room for the first time in like 15 years. She had not, but she couldn't do it. So in 15 years. So now she like messaged me out. So she's like, my husband and I went on a weekend date and I stayed in a hotel room again. And it was so awesome. I wasn't worried at all, you know, eating foods that they were too afraid to eat before. And, you know, on top of that, like the one thing that all of them said was, if we could have done this first, before going into like all of the medical stuff we had to put ourselves through, at least then we wouldn't have been so afraid of anything happening, because they all deemed that like the biggest piece, just like you said, of their struggle was how afraid they were of getting sick again, because the repercussions were serious.
Well, they're serious in many ways. You feel it physically and everyone gaslights you.
Yep.
Every single medical professional.
Yep.
It's not real. It's in your head. Oh, that eczema on your hands, that's not from any sort of environmental thing. I'm like, I literally eat the healthiest. I'm healthier than you as a doctor. Yeah. Like, I know more about food than you do. I am wildly hydrated. I am honoring my body. I am moving. You cannot tell me that this isn't a real something's going on. And as a matter of fact, it wasn't until COVID hit and I stopped driving my car that I actually began to think like, wait a second. All my eczema is gone. I feel calm and fine. I'm in my home. Mm-hmm. Then when we started driving again, my hands start. It was my eczema was like, it was like my siren.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh my God, nobody believed me. Nobody supported me. Nobody had an idea. I mean, it was wild. So yeah, like if only we could flip the medical, you know, establishment on its head to say like, yes, there is an importance for modern medicine. There is. Those SSRIs could get people through horrific suicidal times. Yes. Okay. So let's say that. And I know you know that, Kristen. You know that. I know that. However, they are not the only answer. And they should not be the only thing you're doing. It is not going to fix it. We need to address what these traumas are, whether it's an environmental trauma or, you know, sexual assault as a child. Those are traumas that we need to deal with, and they're going to manifest. Mm-hmm. And so this this is why we wanted you on, because it's such an important piece that people just don't know enough about.
Yeah.
There's so much misinformation. Yeah. And then they try to do it on their own and don't find success. So like all of these things. So this is just, I'm so happy. So two questions that I want to just make sure we touch on.
Yeah.
Is this contraindicated for anyone? Like, should anyone be not microdose?
Yeah, there are several medications that if people are taking them, that they really shouldn't mix with any sort of psychedelic. I mean, it's a huge list, so I couldn't even list all of them.
Okay.
But there is a fairly large list. And so that's a piece to like be aware of. I know that people who have heart issues and blood pressure issues need to be careful on large doses. So if you're considering doing microdosing, I would try to find a whole more holistic doctor to check in with, because most medical doctors are going to be like, I don't even know what microdosing is, because that's what happened to like several of my clients. But any sort of heart issues, they need to be careful with. So I think on a very small dose, it more than likely wouldn't be a problem, but it's still something for me, like what I always suggest is you need to go talk to your doctor first.
Okay. I love that. I absolutely love that. Brianna, let me ask you, in terms of like creating a tolerance, do people create tolerances to this? Like, will there, is that why like the hero's dose exists? Because after a while, the microdosing doesn't do its job, or like talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So psilocybin in general doesn't have like an addictive quality to it. I feel like as humans, we have addictive personality traits. And so that's why somebody feels the need to like want to do more or feel like they need more, because they, you know, in quotation marks, like believe that's what they need. But the truth is when you're taking, when you're microdosing, if you're doing a protocol correctly, then you should be having days on and days off. And part of the day off is so that you don't build a tolerance. And so it gives your body and your mind a time to take a break, but it also gives you an opportunity to integrate what you're learning on your own without giving all the power to the medicine. So as long as somebody is microdosing correctly, then no, there's no tolerance that gets built there.
Okay, amazing. I feel like we touched on everything. Is there anything that you feel like I haven't asked you that you think you want to, before we talk about how people could work with you, just like in terms of microdosing and mushrooms and all that?
I really invite people to see microdosing as something completely opposite from taking a medication or a supplement, because it really just carries so much it more power and deserves like a lot more respect for how it got put into our hands and, you know, the things that it does. So, you know, I'm an advocate for that beyond anything.
Okay. I love that. So share with our listeners where they could find you and how they could work with you.
Yeah. So you can find me on Instagram at Brianna, which is Brianna underscore Morse, Morse. If you're really into like dogs and like fostering and rescuing and all things that, then you can just find me on Facebook. But like literally all I post on there is about animals. I've fostered like 21 dogs over the last like 2.5 years. And so I'm a big advocate for animals on there.
I remember when you had one of your dogs, one of the fosters had like ran away, right? I was like, yeah.
That was so traumatic.
It was traumatic for all of us, by the way. Like, I was not, I think I messaged you like 4 times, like, just thinking about you. You don't have to respond to me. I hope you found, I don't remember the dog's name.
Oh my God, Glacier.
Glacier,
it was
Horrible. Yeah, yeah.
She was feral. She came from like 165 dog boarding case. She literally just slept in the corner of my house every day.
Gosh.
And then like a month in, she started like getting brave enough to want to go for walks with me and the dogs. And she got off of my hand and ran away with the leash. And she was gone for 12 days. Oh. It was my worst nightmare.
Ever. Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah. Like, I remember feeling so sad about that. But, like, bless your soul for doing that work. That's hard stuff, giving up a dog, you know, when you're fostering. Like, you're loving it, and then you have to give it to another family, and you're like, I do, but you also can't keep all the dogs. So,
yes. So dog stuff, go to my Facebook. And I also have a website. It's just myfirstandlastname.com. And that's a great place for people to download a free microdosing guide that I have, or they can purchase a go-it-yourself paced course that is a lot more of a deep dive on the how-tos for microdosing to prepare you if you already have access to things and maybe you have a therapist or a mentor that you're working with. As far as working together, if someone is really interested in working with me, I work with, you know, men and women, and I do one-on-one programs and have 4 available in November to start and then 1 in December to start. The next microdosing group program starts in January, so if that's something that somebody's interested in, they can get in touch with me and we'll put them on the wait list. I run a really cool program with a colleague of mine called Mushrooms and Movement. Cheyenne Sagiri lives in Mexico City. She's an embodiment and breathwork expert. And so we combine a microdosing protocol with weekly embodiment and breathwork practices. And that is just a super rad program. That's going to be starting at the end of January. And then I have just finished creating a credentialing course for other coaches. So if you deem yourself as a mindset coach, a healer, even a nutritionist coach of some form, and you really want to bring microdosing into your practice, I have a 6-month credential program that is going to walk you through not only all of the things you need to be prepared to start creating microdosing protocols for your client, but also that mindset work and the psychological piece that comes into working with someone in this way, so that you can not only be guiding safely, but also be coaching safely. So if that's something that lands, I'm going to be opening those doors in November and we'll start in January.
Oh, this is all so incredible. We are so deeply grateful for your time and your energy and your intelligence and your authenticity, and for honestly like being on this planet and serving in the way you do. We're just so grateful. So thank you for being with us. Thank you for all this information. You're incredible. Anyone that has the opportunity to work with you, is their life is going to be changed. So yeah, we hope that any of you listeners that have connected with Brianna and really enjoyed what she had to say, I'll have all of her information in our show notes, her website, her Instagram, her Facebook, if you want the dogs. Yeah. And
any dogs. And if they have like questions or they just want to like connect, like I love community. I love connection. Like it's a big value of mine. So, you know, feel free to just pop in and say that they listen to the podcast. And, you know, if they want to dialogue about anything, like I'm happy to do that.
Awesome. Too. Excellent. Thank you so much, Brianna.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to the Fiercely Holistic podcast. If you loved this episode, head over to iTunes to subscribe and leave a review to help us grow. You can find Kristen at nhhnutrition.com and Ciara at auranutrition.com. If you have any thoughts, questions, or topics you'd like us to cover, please email us at fiercelyholistic@gmail.com.
The information provided in this podcast is for educational and informational purposes only and is not intended to be a substitute for professional medical advice, diagnosis, or treatment. Always seek the advice of your physician or other qualified healthcare provider with any questions you may have regarding a medical condition. The views and opinions expressed during this series are solely those of the individuals involved.